With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name is Marcus Speller.
My name is Gentleman Jim Campbell.
I'm Lucky Luke Moore.
And I'm Freddy Krueger, baby!
Oh, don't start with a Nightmare on Elm Street business.
What do you
Peter.
Mean? It's a great movie. In which is the one where all of the wires from the man's motorbike goes into his hands?
I think goal three. Four. It's goal three.
It's goal three, yeah.
So it didn't happen in goal three.
Yeah. The one thing we didn't talk about in goal three is that he's still... Come on, let's open this Pandora's box. I want to get it all out in the open. Let's leave it all out on the pitch, lads. And in goal three, when he's still playing for Newcastle United, and I'm not going to cast aspersions towards Newcastle's terrible training situation and training ground going to dust, but he's still running up and down the coast. Like, he could be doing that on a running machine at St. James's Park. Well, not at St. James's Park, at the training ground. It's just, again, weird. Carry on, Mark.
I suspect, Pete, that they were reusing footage from the old movie in that.
Yes. Yeah, good shout.
Okay. Well, this is not Pete's film club, okay?
No.
And even if it was, we've already talked about goal three. And apologies once again, everybody. I'd like to start by talking about some transfer stuff. Ooh. We've been starved of transfer sagas, and my goodness,
capitalism, baby.
I am thirsty for a saga.
You sound like a randy old person about to go on a cruise.
Well, just before we started recording, Jim, Marcus was talking about setting up a Fulham firm, which I'm very much enjoying.
Yes.
Being in place for the start of next season. The most limp firm anyone's ever had, the softest firm.
Well, is it really? Well, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
There's a little threat.
Ooh.
You know the car park, you bring the sandwiches.
The NCP, it's 20 quid an hour. You won't be able to afford that down in Fulham.
It's free for frontline workers at the moment, so give them a bit of credit.
Let's all calm down. Let's all calm down. Crying out ruddy loud. Because Chelsea looks set to sign Timo Werner. And of course, Chelsea are in Fulham themselves. So another reference there. But yes, a big Timo. There's been a lot of chat about him, maybe going to Liverpool and so on and so forth. It's not set in stone at the moment, but Chelsea, and I thought to myself, I see what you're doing. They didn't get old Dries's pieces, Mertens. Similar type of forward, maybe. Can play out wide, can score the goals, looks handsome.
Is he handsome?
Significantly younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's handsome in a very functional way, isn't he? He's very symmetrical. Very
is that a compliment?
Well, I think I'm handsome in a sort of magic eye way, being generous.
Right.
Whereas Timo Werner, I think he is handsome, but functionally handsome, is that unfair on him?
It's damning with faint praise, isn't it?
Jim, is that when you say you're handsome, when you said you're handsome in a magic eye way, does that mean that you were handsome for a bit in the early 90s?
If you crossed your eyes a bit, you can sort of get on, Jim. I'm handsome, Jim, to sheep because they've got that weird kind of gyroscopic eye. I reckon I'm probably quite handsome to sheep because they can just see all of, like, they can almost see 360 degrees of me all at one time.
Yeah, and your best angle is total.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's that's total angle. I want basically, I'm better. Like, just imagine unwrapping me onto a 2D plane. That's how handsome I can get. That's as handsome as I'm going to get. You just unwrap my skin, put it on a wall. That's as handsome as I'm going to get. But just the front side, forget about it. You've seen half of me there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to apologise to Pete and Jim right now because I'm going to ask Luke, what do you think of Chelsea trying to sign Timo Werner?
I just don't think he's as handsome as Pete in a 2D plane. No, I think that what do I think? I think that he's a good player. He's very exciting to watch. He's quick. He scores goals. I've seen him play in the flesh before, and he played off the left, and he was excellent. He's he's an absolute busy bastard. Deceptively quick, pretty strong as well. Obviously, 24, I think he is, so he will improve, you'd expect, too. I read an interesting story about how Chelsea have signed him, which apparently is going to be confirmed next week. I mean, certain outlets are talking about it like it's already happened. So I don't think we need to necessarily doubt them for any reason. But it was linked with Liverpool, but it looks like Liverpool have passed him up, passed on him, chiefly, I think, because of financial reasons, because they think he's going to, he would have started on the bench. A lot of money for a player who's going to start on the bench. And I think, interestingly as well, obviously there are lots of financial pressures around football clubs at the moment for obvious reasons. But the interesting angle I saw about why Liverpool didn't sign him is that they were thinking of bedding him in the Africa Cup of Nations when Salah and Mane were expected to be out. And they're not going to be out anymore, probably, because the Africa Cup of Nations is probably going to be postponed. So that's part of the reason. But one thing I would like to say, actually, is that very, very impressed with Chelsea's business so far. I mean, the transfer window hasn't really even opened, and they've done Ziyech, they've done Werner, two of the most exciting forward players in Europe. And apparently, just very finally, to end this Andy Brassel-esque monologue, they apparently were able to help secure him by Frank Lampard speaking to him directly on more than one occasion and sort of selling him the vision. So Chelsea fans, I think, should be very happy with the job that Frank Lampard's doing so far overall, and expect reasonably that there's more to come.
Yeah.
I would have had N'Golo Kante getting involved because he's the highest earner at Chelsea at the moment, and Werner will be the second highest earner at Chelsea. So, yeah, come on aboard.
Why would you do that?
Minted.
Yeah, you won't earn as much as me.
You'll be second, but you'll be very close to me.
So, Pete, your strategy would effectively be to get the big dog to go in and tell him not to get any ideas about his station before he signs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look, it's good to have perspective because Chelsea have a terrible record of signing players and then benching them or putting them out on loan. So, look, I'm just saying, go in with open eyes, guys.
I don't think you signed Timo Werner and put him out on loan, do you?
To be fair, what Pete's saying is maybe that actually N'Golo Kante saying, oh, finally someone who is going to earn a similar amount to me. You can shop where I shop. You can go where I go. And he's encouraging him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the full and firm way.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I think it'd be a decent signing because he's versatile and what Chelsea are trying to do, they've got obviously players who can play up top and Tammy Abraham's, done some good stuff in a Chelsea shirt. They miss Hazard still. I know Werner's not that type of player, but with that kind of more sort of dynamic front line that Lampard's trying to play with, then I think he would work. And also there's talk of Pedro leaving. Not that Pedro is... I don't think Pedro's crucial to Chelsea plans at the moment, hence he's leaving. But I think Werner's a decent signing. I know one or two people have been saying, well, oh, I don't know, I could see him sort of flopping and Ziyech as well, or one of those ones who sort of flatters to deceive. Well, hang on, you've got to go on what we've seen. And yes, I know Ziyech has sometimes been criticised for his end product or what he does in the final third. But, I mean, he's clearly a talented player. And ultimately, you've got sometimes there's always an element of taking a punt with a transfer. But I'd like to see Al Werns in the Premier League.
Well, I think the point about a lot of the chat on social media the last day or two has been a bit like, what does this mean for Tammy Abraham? But, I mean, yeah. Ziyech can play off the... Well, I've seen Ziyech play in the flesh as well. And I was very impressed with him. And he played off the right when I saw him. And Timo Werner has played off the left when I saw him. Yeah. And Chelsea, of course, of this season that we're currently in the middle of, Chelsea have played a 4-3-3 quite regularly, and Abraham could play through the middle. So there are lots. There are always going to be lots of options for a manager like Frank Lampard at a club like Chelsea in 2020. Those players have got to prove their worth. But I don't necessarily think it's the end for Tammy Abraham or a comment on his contribution or a shame for English football in quotes because they're signing these players. Abraham plays through the middle. These two don't have to play through the middle. And I've not seen Ziyech play through the middle as a false nine or anything like that. So I don't necessarily think it's worth worrying about what it means for Abraham.
Mm. Yeah, I personally... That is the first thing that sort of springs to mind, doesn't it? But you would hope that just the very nature of how modern squads are put together and the versatility of modern forwards, especially younger ones, would take care of that. But I mean, I think actually the idea that Werner is a slightly underwhelming signing is kind of crazy to me. I think he's really, really exciting and actually makes Chelsea seem like quite a scary prospect. Because he's kind of ruthless, isn't he? He seems to be one of those players where, you know how you would always trust, say, Andrei Shevchenko to bury it? Not for Chelsea, obviously.
I was about to say, one of all the examples.
Terrible. Poor example.
You know when Matija Kesman would bury them?
Yeah. But no, Werner's got that kind of dead-eyed, ruthless quality to his finishing. And I think, that's something that's very, very
absolutely
crucial.
And you know, with the exception of the kind of left-back position, which I think Lampard's been a bit indecisive about, and clearly we have to remember that he's newish enough in the job and all the rest of it. But what did Chelsea have? I think you look at Chelsea as being an exciting, young, dynamic team who have brought these younger players through and who have made a couple of big signings as well. But don't forget, of course, Willian is probably expected to leave at the end of the season. So they're going to lose a bit of experience. In Ziyech, who's 27 and has played in the latter stage of the Champions League, and Timo Werner, who's 24, but is vastly experienced in the top flight in Germany and has banged the goals in for fun and offers an awful lot more than that. I think they're really sensible signings because they give them a little bit of quality. And the example I would use about the fact that Chelsea aren't quite ready to make that step up yet is, if you remember, I know it feels like a long time ago now, but in that first leg of the Champions League stage, I forget which stage it was now, they were absolutely battered by Bayern Munich. I mean, at home, they were beaten very, very badly and they didn't have the quality or the experience to deal with it. And I'm not suggesting that this gives them that necessarily, but it's certainly a step in the right direction.
Yeah, they needed something. Well, they're looking at Ben Chilwell as well, the left back apparently, but we shall wait and see.
Well, that would make sense as well, wouldn't it?
It'd make a lot of sense, yeah. What has also made a lot of sense, Luke Moore, is Southampton capturing Ralph Hasenhüttl for another four-year contract. I say another four-year contract. They got him on. He signed a four-year contract. He's been there since December 2018. So Southampton currently 14th, 7 points above the relegation zone with 9 matches to play. So, you know, unless they have a disaster, bearing in mind the 9-0 and all that kind of stuff, you know, they're in a decent position. And old Hasenhüttl has apparently been working away during the lockdown, trying to sync up things at the club. Matt Letizia has been full of praise for Hasenhüttl and what's been going on. He's trying to get the academies to kind of line up with what the first team are doing, which I don't know if they still do at Barcelona. I suspect they would, but I remember hearing about that a number of years ago under Guardiola and so on. So the club will see all levels of the club having similar playing styles, the way of training, dietary requirements. So obviously the idea is, you know, you qualify from that level and you move up. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's quite interesting with Hasenhüttl at Southampton and what he's doing there. I think it's great for them.
Can you imagine Matt Letizia being in a club where everyone has to have the same similar playing style, way of training, and dietary requirements as him back in the day? That would be a relaxed team.
I like Hasenhüttl. I think he's great, and I can explain why. But I mean, I wouldn't go on what Matt Letizia says, because he literally, I think, thinks the world's flat. So, I mean, his yeah. judgment probably should, his reputation should probably preclude him from having a judgment on that.
Do you think that with the lockdown and COVID and everything and the uncertainty as to when the next season is probably going to start and whether we'll have the same situation next year will make the chairmans and owners of clubs be a bit more conservative when it comes to replacing managers? Because obviously a bit of continuity wouldn't go amiss in situations like this, especially when there's no football being played.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've already seen that people are certainly going to be a bit more frugal with transfers. We've seen Spurs talking about that, and even Liverpool. I mean, they've said that part of the reason that they kind of called their interest in Werner was also because their priority is to make sure that Van Dijk and Alisson are kept on, renewed terms, and that some of their other standout performers get new contracts. So we're already seeing that happen. But I think you're absolutely right, Pete. And Hasenhüttl's a great example of this, isn't he? He's been very vocal about how well he was supported after the 9-0. Even got a text from Alex Ferguson, apparently. And you hear this a lot, don't you? It's like, how does Alex Ferguson have every manager's number? Unless they're in like a big WhatsApp group together and he just picks it out of that. But yeah, I think we are hopefully going to see a bit more of that, because this would be a crazy time to change manager, wouldn't it? Can you imagine if it just doesn't affect it?
So when the 9-0 happened, there was a lot of talk about, you know, is his position untenable? Can he realistically carry on after this? But I know a couple of friends, as you'd probably expect, who are Southampton fans from down that way. And I think the general consensus was that Hasenhüttl was impressive. People like him. He seems to be doing a good job. The players need to sort themselves out, etc. So the blame kind of, as far as I understand it, fell on the players a bit more. And then Hasenhüttl sorted it out and got them on a bit of a run around Christmas time, didn't he? Mm. And the occasion, I think they had the one defeat all over that time, all the way through to the end of January. But then having said that, they did start to wobble a bit. They had some tough games, but they also had some games you'd expect them to win. They lost to West Ham, they lost at home to Burnley, and they lost at home to Pete Donaldson's beloved Newcastle United as well. Oh, yeah. And then the break happened. So I don't mean this to sound callous. Of course, there are wider implications and much more serious things to think about. But if you take it just on the football side, the break came at quite a nice time for them. And I think Hasenhüttl was the kind of guy, I mean, they call him the Alpine Klopp, don't they, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of guy, I think, who does want to overhaul the club, create in his own image, and as you've alluded to, Marcus, get a lot of coherence between all the different teams there. And this break has probably given him a lot of thinking time, which I think would be beneficial. I think they come back with a game against Norwich, which will be interesting to see what stage they're at. But as ever, as I said, when it comes to the Bundesliga, and I believe it in terms of the Premier League as well, and we'll have more time to talk about this between now and when it starts again, of course, is that what's going to be really important is that the teams who do well in this, after this restart, are going to be the teams that manage very different conditions the best. And if you've got a thoughtful, kind of confident, safe in his job manager, I think that's really going to help things.
Yeah, well, look at Aston Villa, Luke Moore. 19th with 2 points from safety and have a game in hand. They need to hit the ground running with this. And Jack Grealish has been talking big. He was speaking about the league's return and is relishing playing his part in keeping Villa up. He said, being the local lad and captain of the club, I absolutely love it. Go on, Jackie. It'd be nice to have the legs back. But yeah, he said he wasn't bothered if there was crowd noise used in the stadium or not, which would be interesting. But John McGinn's, he's back for Villa, which is a big plus for them because he was previously injured, of course. So I think the relegation sort of chat or what would it be, the battle, if you like, is where it's going to be really interesting because we know Liverpool are going to win the league. There's a few European places up for grabs, but how those sides respond, as you say, Luke, is going to be quite fascinating.
Yeah, I think you're right, Marcus. That is going to be the lack of atmosphere is going to tell most down the bottom, isn't it? Because does it add to the pressure or does it remove the pressure? You know, we're yet to really to understand what that's going to be like. I think one of the facets of watching games without the crowd noise and the fans is strangely, I think you kind of concentrate more. You know, you watch the game as if you're watching a game in a park from the sidelines, and you're really seeing the shapes and everything that happens. And I think we're going to have more of an insight into the sort of nervousness of the players from that, from the body language, and just from the shapes of the team. And I think I'm more looking forward to that than I am sort of the so-called title race, because it's the stuff that's going to be affected the most by this situation. And what do you feel about the crowd noise? Because I don't think they're actually going to pump it into the stadium, are they? It's going to be the TV broadcasts that potentially have the option to have it on or off. I'm quite intrigued by it.
I think that I think certainly teams who this season have had a terrible away record, and to be honest, there aren't that many, will probably find it easier going, because obviously, you know, there's data to suggest that referees do get influenced by giving home teams advantage and stuff like that. So there is going to be a bit of that. So teams that have bad away records are probably going to have a better time. But I mean, in the actual stadium playing football, I think it's going to start slow, like the Bundesliga did. Everyone's going to be misfiring in the 6-yard box, like we saw with them, and the defenders are going to be a little bit nervous. But everything in between is just going to get a little bit stodgy for the first couple of matches, because people just aren't fit. People just find it very, very hard to get fit. And there's talk of like playing friendlies and stuff. Are we going to televise them as well? Can we televise everything?
Mm. Have you guys seen where the crowd noise is going to come from for the TV broadcasts?
Pete's house.
World Cup 66.
They're taking it from the game FIFA 20.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Lovely. Have they offered that up as a little package? Like, obviously,
I don't know, but that's the plan, apparently. That's what has been reported in the newspapers earlier this week.
I think it's a dreadful idea.
Can we choose a Barry Davies pre-Evolution 6?
But Marcus, I think, commentator. I mean, the noise, not the commentary, but Marcus, I mean, Pete will know much more about this than me, but I believe it's something to do with the AI and how it works. Means that they can, it'll work, and it won't just sound like a straight bit of white noise with no deviation.
I presume EA have just provided the stems, and someone's programmed a little kind of soundboard that'll help, you know, create like a swell of noise.
Why did Donny get a call for that job?
I love. Well, have you seen me on the old iPad when we're in the studio? I'll be playing the Gopher Glove.
I now know why you don't.
But that's fantastic. That's a fascinating bit of work that they've taken that crowd noise. Because the crowd noises are taken from different stadiums as well. So you'll hear like Newcastle United chants when you play at St. James's Park. You'll be hearing like Arsenal chants when you're at the Emirates. Will they put that in? Will that be part of it as well? Exciting. You've excited me.
The thing is, I'm quite looking forward to hearing it with no atmosphere as well. So I'm really hoping there is the option to flip between. Because either way, it's going to be this eerie kind of bizarro world version of the Premier League. So I think all for it.
I'm going to mute the TV when I watch it, and I'm going to sing myself in my living room the whole game, all the way through till the end, to make my own atmosphere.
Yeah. Don't you do that
Marcus
anyway?
He's going to be out with his firm.
but I won't do it so loud that I attract him. I won't do it so loud that Marcus and his firm hears me and comes and gets me.
Oh, no. You would get pelted with some fine Waitrose produce.
With apples.
I think the crowd noises are a terrible idea, and I'm against it.
Oh, against non-football. Spellsy.
Absolutely buzzkill.
Oh, I'm firm. Furious about this.
Yeah. Well, I honestly think it's a terrible idea, because it's just, it's fake, and I don't like fake news.
Like fake people, like you, Donny.
Exactly.
But if it was optional, Marcus, does that still offend your sensibilities in the same way? Just because, they are doing what they can, aren't they? They're broadcasters. And it has to be said, I think they've done a pretty good job so far in the circumstances. Quite often when you're watching the Bundesliga, you forget that the commentator and co-commentator aren't together or even in the stadium. They are doing what they can to offer different options. And I think that's to be applauded, is it not?
Yeah, but I mean, they do that for most of the European games. I mean, most of the BT commentators normally wouldn't be in the stadium anyway. They're always a lot of commentaries remotely done. But yes, I think to give the option, I think I wouldn't want to starve others of the option, but I just wouldn't want it put upon me.
Marcus is a purist.
When it comes to fair enough noise. Gentlemen, I'd like to finish the first half of this show by bringing Roy Hodgson his comments into the light.
Of course you would.
He's bringing others into the light, actually. Roy Hodgson's a springboard here, as he's often...
Use Roy Hodgson as a springboard. My God.
Yeah. Is he an honorary member of his age?
Very unfair.
Well, Hodgson said he's very pleased to be back at work, of course. I think a lot of managers would say the same. Hodgson spoke of football players being more well-rounded and intelligent and interesting than they're given credit for. And this was in light of recent events. He was full of praise for his players and others, how they've responded to what's been going on in the current climate and so on. And he said, I'm very proud, certainly at Crystal Palace, of what players have done during the crisis and the pandemic in trying to help the club's foundation and contribute the best way we can to many organisations. I'm also pleased to see players take a political interest, especially a club like ours in Southeast London that has a lot of black players. It doesn't concern me to see players thinking about those bigger topics and even making a stand. That's good for Hodgson to come out and say that.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Let me just chime in on the support for Roy Hodgson, if I may. Since what happened in 2012, when he was England manager, and what happened, of course, with Liverpool to an extent as well, he's far too often cast as a bit of a doddery old fool, Roy Hodgson. Mm-hmm. And I mean that with love. I don't share that view, but I think he's far too often cast as that with the gifs and the memes you see go around, when in actual fact, he is intelligent. He's very, very well read. He's clearly got a huge amount of experience, a lot to offer the game, not just in a football sense, but in a wider sense as well. And I very, very regularly, does Roy Hodgson come out and say things where I think, do you know what? You're absolutely right. Yeah. And I completely agree with you. And perhaps he doesn't quite get enough credit for that. And I'm pleased to hear him say that, because I think it's a really positive, important thing for him to say.
Yeah, I completely agree, Luke. And actually, the point he makes is a really important one about footballers, you know, not just being more rounded and intelligent, but the fact that they should be allowed to kind of express these views. I think it's an important thing that people in this position aren't, you know, castigated for speaking their mind about really important things, because that's how we're going to see some progress. So I don't know if you saw Liam Rossini wrote an open letter to Donald Trump this morning, which is fantastic. And can you imagine that happening even 3 months ago? Like, this is a really, really positive thing. And I wonder what football can do in terms of, you know, actively encouraging that, because I think it can be a really powerful tool for good. It's always talking about how it's a powerful tool for good, but then if anyone says anything of any impact, they often, they have rules in place to kind of deny them being able to say that. I mean, I think it's great that Jadon Sancho and others weren't punished for the messages that were written in support of the protest in the US. And I wonder if football can actually think about that a little bit more and you know, allow itself to be a platform. I think that would be a good thing.
Well, what happened when he actually took his shirt off? Obviously, he gets a yellow for taking his shirt off, and that was what the yellow was for. Did that yellow get stricken for the record? Because obviously, we're going to get back into Premier League football. Premier League is 30% black, or if not more, and it should provide a platform to the voiceless. It should provide a platform to people with political interests. But the actual framework of the on-field kind of celebration of issues or taking the shirts off with political messages is in place, so people do get the yellow cards and the red cards. So where do we stand on that?
So the situation is with what happened with Jadon Sancho and the other players in the Bundesliga, is that Jadon Sancho was penalised with a yellow card for removing his shirt. I believe Ashraf Hakimi, I think it was, or maybe someone else, who lifted their shirt over their head but didn't take their shirt off, but still showed a Justice for George Floyd message. He wasn't booked because he didn't remove his shirt. And FIFA president Gianni Infantino said, and I covered this briefly yesterday on OTC, if people haven't heard that, I want to go back and listen. Gianni Infantino said, his statement was as follows: for the avoidance of doubt, in a FIFA competition, the recent demonstrations of players in Bundesliga matches would deserve an applause and not a punishment. We must all say no to racism and any form of discrimination. So they've basically broadly been supported by FIFA on the moves they've made.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
Okay. I mean, it's difficult because obviously, you know, where does one person's politics encroach on another? So if I was a footballer that had terrible views, but it could be argued that they were political rather than just, you know, racial or an immigration, for example, something like that. Where does that end? And it's quite difficult for FIFA and UEFA and the Premier League to work out.
The reason I think it's difficult, and the reason I think I may be wrong on this, and I don't have all the notes on this in front of me, I haven't prepped for this, but as far as I understand it, the reason that FIFA have to have these things in place and UEFA and stuff is because they are so powerful as bodies, and football is such a powerful presence that they can't be seen to be influencing statehood or countryhood all around the world in different political sort of flashpoints and hot potatoes, you know, because it's difficult for them to take a step back and make sure they're not doing that. But of course, Pete, you're absolutely right to raise it, because I argued yesterday on OTC, and I stand by this now, that showing support for a man who's been murdered on camera by a police officer is not a political point. It's not political. It shouldn't be. It should be completely common sense that everyone should be absolutely outraged, offended, and upset by it. And I think that's probably why FIFA, for once, I should say, because you don't normally rely on them for these things, for once, have read the room on this. Now, it is difficult, as you rightly say, because of what I've said and the idea that there has to be a line drawn somewhere. I mean, the football industry can't be seen as influencing whether a country becomes a country or not, which I think is what they're worried about. So, it's a very, very complicated issue, I think.
Mm. Good to see. Got to get some leadership from somewhere, though, isn't it?
I've forgotten what it felt
very
like.
Very rare in 2020.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He just says, how many holes does a straw have? 0, 1, or 2? The internet can't figure it out, so I've done what any sane person would do. Ask the Luke and the Pete.
Join me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore for an unplanned half hour every Monday and Thursday as we talk about, well, anything really, from your emails to life's great mysteries to this guy.
The noise you're going to hear sounds like a man being interrupted by a car. He isn't being interrupted by the car. He is making the car sound.
Sim, mas você é hippie.
Por quê?
How on earth is he doing that? Beep, 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 beep. How does he make that noise? Listen now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Beep, 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 beep.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the previous show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Now it's time for emails with PDD.
You email show.
It is time for emails with PTD. Let's have a look at this blimey iPhone that seems to have turned itself off. Where's my starred messages? There they are, and we are in. Hello to Jack Lockett. Chipperfield. We got Mr. Chipperfield's email circus. He emailed in at 9:14 this morning. Hello, gang. Whoa. I've just been out to dinner with my girlfriend and her family to a Japanese restaurant, and I've spotted this gem of a sign. Arguably the highlight of my week, which tells you all you need to know about my warped perceptions of the world, where my most vivid memories are worldly free kicks by opposition players against Manchester United. He actually says United, but I'm taking that out. on the picture that he attached, let me just get that. On the picture you attach, the duty manager is Shinji Nakamura. If you're curious, you're not, and I don't blame you about why I'm out for dinner in the middle of a pandemic. New Zealand is in a stand-up show so far, so we've currently got one confirmed active case. Thanks for all of the gym podcast entertainment. Keep fighting the good fight. Cheers, Jack from New Zealand. And then about 5 minutes later, I have made a grave error. I've just realised that the Japanese international footballer is named Shinsuke Nakamura, and I projected Shinji Kagawa's first name onto him. I haven't cocked up this badly since I told my flatmate I didn't dislike her painting. Off to somewhere else. Thank you very much to Jack. Menachem Friedman. Hello, Menachem. Shalom, Ramblers. Sidestepping politics and all that trash. I don't think you can in 2020, mate. The Israeli Premier League's restarted play last weekend, making us the second UEFA league to do so. So if you're bored of the glamour of German football, check out the Israeli Premier League. I'm enjoying that we're getting like teams foisted upon us and leagues foisted upon us because people are excited that the football is back. The league is so poor, when the Minister of Sports asked the cabinet why the clubs weren't being allowed to train yet, even though training had restarted in Germany and South Korea, the transportation minister responded, well, because in Germany and South Korea, the football teams know how to play football. Tough. Maccabi Tel Aviv are currently undefeated at the top of the table, so let's see if they can beat Jim's Arsenal. And they wear yellow, which should placate Luke's yellow sans black blood. Meanwhile, for Jim, the Israeli league has reached the point where it splits into championship and relegation groups, so I guess that's a little bit Scottish. And for Pete, there's more than one team who has a communist supporters group. Stay healthy and safe, lads. Stay healthy and safe, lads, and turn on illegal links to watch some shitty football. Mendy, I would never do that. I don't want to put the Newcastle takeover in peril.
Can I just jump in and issue a warning to anyone who is going to go and watch a football league that perhaps they wouldn't have done in the past? Because, I mean, I hope he won't mind me saying this, but Andy Brassel was actually very excited for the return of the Polish top flight last week and recommended a Polish game as his game of the week, and then spent quite a long time before we recorded yesterday talking about how bad it was, how he wished he'd never seen it and that he won't be watching it again. And then all these little OTC yesterday, it was like, yeah, it wasn't the best game, to be honest, and then just moved on. And Andy Brassel never moves on from anything. So be careful.
Did he sort of like, I mean, if you're going to go for, you know, a football league you're really excited about, the first week of the Polish league after a three-month break is not the one to go for crying out loud.
Lech Poznan 0, Legia Warsaw 1.
Fantastic. Lovely old job. If you want to get in touch with the show, shortfootballrambledaily.com is the way to do it.
Yep, absolutely. Talking of leagues and football in other countries, I saw that the cup final was played in Hungary. And Budapest Honved won it. And they said, they opened the stadium, which I think is about 40,000, 50,000. And they said, you know, all right, you can come in, but just be a bit socially distanced. So about 10,000 people turn up. According to the reports, by and large, people were fairly socially distanced. But of course, when Honved won the cup and they're all together having the photos, all the fans cram in at the background and just think, oh, that's gone out the window.
Yeah, not great.
Oh, dear. Oy. Before we get to Time Tunnel, what's going on with Matty Longstaff, Peter? Hey. What's happening there?
Pack the sunscreen.
You'll be able to peel him and make another one of him.
Like when I
unwrap myself on up end.
Yeah, he's out of contract.
Yeah, it's sad. It's really, 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 really sad. Like, what is the point of having like a development squad? What is the point of having an academy? In that you give him like he scores two goals against Manchester United, or just get rid of just don't let him sign a new contract. You know, offer him like 15 grand a week when everybody else is getting 10,000 more. That, my word.
I love that. I absolutely love that when he wanted 25 grand a week, then was verbally offered,
which is like 90s wages. It's like 90s footballers decent wages, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was verbally offered 20 grand a week and then he was formally offered 15 grand. And I thought, that is a big Mike all over that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I like 25 grand a week. 20 grand a week? Yeah. What do you want 15 grand a week for? Hey, what?
If you want any indication as to how the takeover's going, I think this is very much how the takeover's going. I can't tell whether it's going really well and he doesn't want to consign the new club to any promises or himself to any promises, or it's gone so badly he knows he's going to be in charge for the next 10 years and he doesn't want Matty Longstaff to be getting a penny more than 15k a week.
He's just winding you all up, isn't he?
I think he might be.
I think I'm right in saying the average wage of a Premier League player now is 50-ish grand a week, I think.
Really?
So I mean, for him, for a prospect at a Premier League club who's, you know, obviously wanted by a lot of other teams, asking for what he asked for, I don't think it's unreasonable at all. So, I mean, it's yet another piece of evidence. Look, I understand we have to be sensitive around the fact that a lot of every club's lost their kind of income at the moment, or at least a big portion of it. So that's got to be factored in. But you'd think they'd want to keep hold of those players just because it doesn't really meaningfully cost Mike Ashley any money. So it's not like he's have to outlay for a transfer fee. And also it's a huge amount of PR for it for them. They can make a lot of hay out of that because he's an exciting player that Newcastle United fans are excited about, right, Pete?
Yeah, well, he's certainly been turning in performances worthy of the Longstaff name. Sean's not been great this season, so I mean that might see Sean leave the club as well. So it's
Pete, do you put performances in worthy of the Donaldson name? Do you think?
God, no! Have you heard me today, Christ? But it's just really depressing that we've never had an academy worth its salt. I mean, God. Stephen Taylor, like when was the last time he had an academy player come through? That's why we've had to sort of import like young, promising players, like I don't know Jamal Lascelles, or like we've got a history of like just not Matt Ritchie. Yes, exactly. No better than what we've already got. Yeah, it's all a bit of a shame. It's sad that it looks like he's leaving the club. It was really exciting to see like a homegrown player playing with his brother in the heart of midfield, and he looked up for it, and he looked interested, which is not something you can say about Shelvey.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Because it's like you look at the way that Newcastle successfully created Steve Harper to step in for Shea Given if it needed to happen. And you think, why can't they use that lab again? And just
they've let it go to rack and ruin.
They
really have. But it's just sad. It's just sad. It might be the takeover paralysis that will cost him his place at Newcastle United. But it does seem like Mike may be settling in for the long haul and making decisions on that particular level, which is so depressing.
Yeah. Taking any kind of joy out of that club, isn't it? Oh, you... Hang on, they quite like this guy. Yeah, all right, we'll get rid of him. Oh, dear.
Like, why would you not just keep for another couple of years, play him a bit, and make my money out of him? Because this, like letting him leave at the end of his contract seems bizarre. You've spent all that money and all that time and, you know, all that Peter Beardsley on him, and for better or worse. And we're in a situation where you're literally selling him for nothing. You're just letting him leave. It's just bizarre.
Ashley has a bin for a heart. That's what it is, Peter. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Time Tunnel.
Oh, it is indeed time for Time Tunnel. Very exciting, isn't it? And I chose the episode this week, and a little bit of rationale behind why I chose the episode I chose. I randomly was down some Google hole earlier this week, and I read an article that the Independent newspaper ran back in 2012, asking if the 2011-2012 season was the best Premier League season ever. And because we've not got any football at the moment, in at least domestically, I thought to myself, well, maybe I should choose an episode from that season then, because that was the classic Aguero finish of the season and lots of interesting stuff went on throughout. And so I chose the episode, admittedly, purely on the name alone. I chose the episode from the 9th of May 2012 called Baldy Beard Beard.
If you Google that title, that's the only thing that comes up on Google.
Probably
and
is.
Certainly on Spotify, if you search for Baldy Baldy and it just comes in.
Well, the synopsis reads, with only two rambles left of the domestic season, the Ramblers took it upon themselves to turn up for the record a bit loopy. We just about got through it intact, but you might not. Apologies. Love to your mothers. Peace. So
a lot of
we
peace.
Thought we were cool back in the day. But this show was released just a few days before the big Aguero moment, as I've already mentioned, which saw Man City win the league title ahead of Man United. Blackburn and Wolves had already been relegated from the Premier League, and Bolton, I think, went down the final day, and QPR escaped, I think, because of a very late Jabril Cissé goal against Stoke at home. But we had a Sky Sports Survival Sunday, which is obviously very exciting, and Liverpool beat Chelsea 4-1 to stop them having any chance of Champions League qualification.
Yes, I've am I right in saying that on that show we would have talked about the FA Cup final, which happened on the 5th of May. That season
we did, exactly right.
Chelsea beat Liverpool 2-1. Big Andy Carroll came on for Liverpool and scored, and he nearly had another one. And I wrote in my notes for that for the game, save of the season by Czech. When he, I think it was a sort of David Seaman-esque save in that game. So yeah, it was odd to have the FA Cup final so early. Do you remember when they moved it forward for a number of years, which kind of annoyed everybody? But I'm glad that the FA Cup. Well, I mean, this season they put the FA Cup final back into August. So those, making up for lost time.
Yeah. It's funny how obviously this has got the Aguero moment in it, as you mentioned. We talk about the FA Cup final in this show, but the thing that really stands out to me is that little mention of Blackburn having already been relegated, because this season was part of the Reign of Terror of Steve Keane, wasn't it?
Wow!
Do you remember that when Steve Keane bluffed his way into the job and just alienated everybody?
Didn't he get busted like being filmed in like some travel tavern, like slagging off some of the players?
That's right.
That rings
a bell.
Travel bad tavern. Boy for life.
Yeah, and perhaps having a pop at Allardyce as well. I mean, Allardyce couldn't believe it, could he, when he was given the job? He's like, oh my God, he's absolutely knifed me there. He's absolutely like staged a coup, and I didn't even see it coming.
I have to say, by the way, just to remind you, this is the episode that happened before the final day of the season. So the Aguero moment is on the show after this, not in this show itself. But it was a fascinating time, and it feels to me like it wasn't that long ago, but of course it was. I mean, you just saying the word Steve Keane because the thing is, you guys, is that you think of Steve Keane and you probably think, oh, he was one of those interim guys, he was there for a few months, and and that's why he's been forgotten. He was there for almost 2 years.
Yeah, it's really strange.
The what I enjoyed about this episode was that Luke unhelpfully mentioned his favourite run-in, or his favourite final day of the season, because we were looking forward to Manchester City lifting it. I think we were very much pro Man City. It looks like they were going to lift it. I think we were, even though they kept us guessing until the end. Luke unhelpfully mentioned that his favourite last day of the season was Newcastle United going down, where we, for some reason, organised the last day of season drinks or something with some listeners, and so I had to watch Newcastle go down with a load of listeners who didn't support Newcastle United. They were having a lovely time. That really took me back. Really took me back to the great, good old days.
That was 2009, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It was a great Premier League season. I remember the final day of the... when did Blackburn win it? 94-95, when, of course, they were away to Liverpool and Manchester United were away to West Ham, and it went down to the last day. And seldom does it. I remember Manchester United at home to Spurs when, that season in 99 when they won the treble, that went down to the last day. But it wasn't that, because I know Spurs went 1-0 up in that game, but Manchester United, you know, they ran out fairly comfortably in the end with a 2-1 win. But this one, the season was incredible because Man City were up and then they were behind a lot and then they came back and so on and so forth. And of course, it was the season before Sir Alex Ferguson would quit as Manchester United manager. I said, when I say quit, that sounds quite disrespectful. He retired.
Yeah.
I quit. I had enough of this.
He abandoned them.
I'm not getting anywhere. I can't.
What could have been, eh? I'm not getting anywhere. This is going nowhere, eh? I've barely got out the starting block.
He kegged it.
He did.
Why can't I be more like Peter Schmeichel? Yeah.
Why can't I be more like Pep Guardiola? Can I... this is quite interesting. So 2012, if I can move on from the Premier League chat of that season. There was a quote. So 2012, Neymar was still in Brazil playing for Santos, I believe, at the time. But he was getting a bit of prominence. People were, you know, hearing about the young man at the time. And this is in my notes for the running order. So Neymar is getting a reputation in Brazil for being a pretty boy who loves sexy time with models. verbatim. And this is the quote that we found, which was in The Guardian. He said, "It's not just footballers who go to orgies. Yes, I go, but I never join in. I'm not pretty like Beckham, but I do buy clothes. I do take care. I shave my legs with a little machine I have. I do it in team meetings."
I do it in team meetings.
Oh, gross.
Oh. Oddly humble.
I might do it when we get back in the studio.
Oh, don't.
Very on brand.
That's great stuff.
So that was Neymar back then. How he's definitely moved on from that sort of behaviour. There we are. Oh, well, that was an intriguing time tunnel. And we're out the other side of it now, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
Please don't mention orgies and time tunnels, Marcus. So close to him. No, he never joins in. He just watches. Masked Winger. Simon the Masked Winger. Thank you very much to James. I forget to touch James DeCotti or Cotty. Not a clue, just for context. According to transfermarket.com, I have played a handful of games on the wing, but I predominantly play more centrally. That's not a clue. That's outside the confines of the clue. But here is your first clue, gentlemen. I was born on the 11th of April, 1991 in San Pietro, Venotico, Italy.
When was he born? Sorry,
1991.
Ooh. Ooh, hey.
10 days after April Fool's Day, 1991. I have 37 caps and 2 goals for my country. My father has won 35 international caps and my brother has won 2 international caps. However, they have not been capped for the country that I have made appearances for. Ooh.
Hmm.
Marcus. I forget his first name. Stefan Al-Sharawi.
It's not him. It's not him.
No, thank you for relieving me for that.
I have won league titles in Germany and Spain.
Marcus.
Jim.
Marcus first.
Thiago Motta.
It's not Thiago Motta, but an excellent guess. Jim?
I was going to go Kevin Prince-Boateng.
It's not Kevin Prince-Boateng.
Yeah. It's a weird one, but I thought I'd have a go.
I mean, he's clearly been on transfermarket.com because I maintained a 90.2 pass success rate during the 2016-17 Bundesliga season, higher than any other player in Germany.
Did you say 37 caps for Italy?
No, I didn't mention his country.
Oh, okay.
Luke.
Didn't mention the country. Go on, Luke.
Is it Thiago Alcantara?
Oh, that's it.
It is Thiago Alcantara, yeah. Luke Moura. Very another good, win from the big man. I've scored 11 goals for Barcelona, 31 goals for Bayern Munich. My father won the World Cup with Brazil in 1994. And my brother's Rafinha, who currently plays for Celta Vigo. I am Thiago Alcantara. Thank you to James for those clues. And thank you to Luke for guessing them.
Well done, Luke.
I've had a great run, you guys.
You are. Is that four in a row? Is that a haul? Are you on a glut?
I think there's four out of five or something.
You're on a glut.
Did I get it last week? I can't remember. Oh, yeah, Jelovic.
You did. You got your hat trick, didn't you?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I got my Thiagos mixed up, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Too many Thiagos.
I have to say, Marcus, given that you helped me out a great deal last week, you won't be too pleased to hear that you just saying the words Thiago is what put it in my mind.
No, mate, I've moved. I'm in that stage in my career now where I'm more of a provider rather than a provider. So I take an awful lot. In fact, to be honest with you, if anything, I take more satisfaction out of that than you do.
Believe me when I say that is not true, because I've got my trousers down.
Well,
that's a shame.
That is a shame. What is also a shame, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're watching The Big Green featuring Steve Guttenberg for Pete's Film Club on Monday.
So get
involved there. Tomorrow on Greatest Games, Jonathan Wilson and I have Dan Carney on talking about the Serie A title-deciding playoff in 1964 season between Inter and Bologna. It's the only time in the history of Serie A that the title has been decided by a one-off match. Which Bologna won, of course. Bologna and Inter finished level on points. And I found that fascinating because people often say, oh, it's weird in Serie A how they don't do goal difference when it comes to the title. But only once has it come into play. So quite fascinating. And also, as always, there's more than just football to that story. So do get involved.
Yeah, can I just jump in and say on Sunday, there's another episode of At The Match Revisited coming out. It's a Dortmund 2 Freiburg 0 game from 2018. With our good pal Andy Brassel, who's there to witness the whole thing and give you all the atmosphere that you need. Something that people are probably crying out for at the moment. The game put Dortmund 6 points clear at the top of the table, 9 points clear of Bayern in third. But we all know how that turned out in the end, don't we? Definitely worth a listen, though, because it really gives you an immersive experience into what it's like to go to a game at the Westfalenstadion.
I might do my own At The Match with FIFA sounds. Yeah, I'm defending this match. Having a hot dog.
Alan Smith piping up.
Yes.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Futures.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
See you later.
It's goodbye from me, everybody.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.